Were you blessed? I was blessed. Thanks for sharing that song, and it fits perfectly with what we're going to be sharing together today. We might want to turn the volume on this just down slightly because I want to talk louder than a whisper. In order to do that, I have thank you. Very good. Let's pray. Mighty God, we just ask for your presence here in this place. We thank you that we've been able to lift our hearts in worship and now ask that you would speak to our hearts. Share with us, Lord, the plans that you have for our lives and the plan that you have for the transformation of our lives. I just ask that we lose sight of ourselves and see you as you speak to us through your word. In Christ's name, amen. It's happening. The waters of time slowly moving and coming, taking the castle of summer and devouring it place by place. Falling to cooler weather as the nights begin to get their chill. The flip-flops have to go back in the closet and the kids go back to school. And already school started. It's Labor Day weekend. It's moved so quickly through summer, hasn't it? Look at the timing and all those things begin to signal that summer's over. And for me, a loss. I love summer. I mourn the loss of summer. It's my time. Jalen likes it when it's a little cooler and a little mist. I like it when there's bright sunshine out. It's my time. There was so much, though, this summer that I had intended to do. Didn't you? I remember the plans from the beginning. There are going to be long days, and I was going to take the family, and we were going to go do picnics, and we were going to go to the ocean, and we had these projects alongside our house as a collection of yard equipment. We were going to build a new place for that, and our garage was going to be cleaned out, and we were going to have a yard sale, and listing the things in summer. There's so many things we're planning to do this summer. But summer's passed, and they didn't get done. I start to mourn the loss of summer because the dreams have sort of faded, and it seems like they're not going to be accomplished. In A Raisin in the Sun, it says, "What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load. Or does it just explode? What happens when you had a dream and it doesn't work out?" Did you have dreams for summer? What you were going to get accomplished this summer? Did you have dreams for this summer? How did they go? Garden looking better? The landscaping projects? Just resting? Did you have dreams for this summer? Sometimes when we look back and say we didn't get accomplished what we wanted to, it's painful, but when those dreams are more than just dreams of summer, but dreams internally, and it's looking and saying the time has passed and it seems too late and we're not accomplishing what we'd like to, it sort of gives us a sense of loss. It was summer for Israel, and summer passed. Israel had great dreams. They had believed that with King Josiah that there was going to be an incredible reform that was taking place in their land. And they had begun to start on that reform. They were thinking it was going to be the perfect revitalization of Israel. But in 600 B.C., all that came to an end. The plain of Megiddo. King Josiah moved out against King Necho, a pharaoh of Egypt, and thinking that he was going to take the battle, ended up dying in battle. There's a reason why we look in Revelation and talk about the plain of Megiddo and the slaughter in Megiddo. It's from this battle. And suddenly, all their dreams seemed as if they'd started too late and hadn't been completed. And immediately after that, another battle took place, and with that, at Carchemish, Egypt fell to Babylon, and Babylon then took over, and they became subservient to Babylon. Jeremiah is the prophet who grieves the loss, recognizing that they tried again and again to get Israel revitalized and to follow through on the dream, and it had failed. Jeremiah 8:20 says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Now, what they're saying is that they had all these dreams and all these plans, and now they're going to go into captivity. And they did just that. We thought it was going to be accomplished, and now it's ended. What would spare them? Have you felt that in your own life? The harvest is over, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Our dreams have been shattered. Our lives have been crushed. We thought that we were going to take care of this relationship and build this relationship, but it's broken down. We thought that we were going to be different. We planned to be somebody in life, and now we look and say we're still in our 9-to-5 job that we had since we were kids, and it never turned out that we were going to accomplish what we had planned. Have you felt like it's too late? Summer's over, the dream's gone, and trying to decide what to do with them? Maybe your dreams were for your family, for your kids, and what you would do with them, who they'd become. Maybe your dream was for you personally, of what you would accomplish in your life and the mission that you thought you'd been called to. And now it's seemed to fail. Why had they not been saved? It was a cry. And we have not been saved. The summer's over and we've not been saved. We've not been spared. We've not been rescued out of this captivity. Why hadn't they? If we can understand why they hadn't, maybe we can also reverse that and say, these are the things that we could do to make sure that everything is accomplished before summer's over. Why had they not been saved? Number one is because they expected God to do it in spite of them. They expected God to do it in spite of them. They believed that there was no need for process, that God would take care of it instantly. We're an instant society, aren't we? We want it now. We no longer have 1 hour of photo mats. You just look on the back of your camera and you see the picture immediately. You download it onto your screen and it's there. We're an instant society. If you look at the things that we do, we don't wait. We just take out the plastic and slide it. And it's ours. We want it now. We want it to take place. If we want to sleep, we take a pill. If we want to go, we jump on a jet. Everything's instant. We've lost the sense of process, of taking step by step, of growth. And for intimacy, we just jump on the chat room and start talking. Instant friends. Maybe it wasn't just Israel who had a hard time with process. Maybe all of us look for or struggle with expecting somehow not to take process, for it to just happen. Expecting that somehow God will just step in and not let us go through, that God will bail us out of the mess and not let us go through any struggle. That God will somehow intervene. There are times when God steps in, aren't there? Somebody could say amen. Praise God that He does step in. Sometimes we don't have to suffer, but part of what God lets us go through sometimes is the process of growing. Going through some pain in order to gain strength. To look at the process of growing. Process of growing is taking step after step toward God. We want God to step in and make it all right. An instant remodel without tearing off the old and step by step rebuilding the new. Sometimes God miraculously works that way, but other times He takes us through the process. Because there's something building in the process. In fact, at Exodus 23:30, it's interesting. He says, little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you are increased and inherit the land. He didn't immediately drive all the inhabitants out of the land that He'd promised for His children. He did it little by little. You know why? It says right there, until you're increased and inherit the land. He was waiting for them to develop so they could handle what He was going to give them. So He took it step by step. Through a process of growing and struggle so that they would learn to depend on Him and increase to the place, grow to the place that God could trust them with what He had intended for them. Could it be happening in your life? Could it be that God's taking you through a process step by step? One of the reasons that they had not been saved is that they were expecting that God would just jump in, that they didn't have to cooperate with Him, that He would just automatically zap them to instant success. Second is they neglected their own responsibility. In Philippians 2, verse 12, it says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That's a scary thought, isn't it? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But what happens is we work out what God has worked in. It's like saying, allow the fertilizer that God has put on the top to be mixed into the soil so that it will do its work. Allow the God who's begun a good work in you to permeate your whole being and make a difference. They neglected to take responsibility for the nurture of their own relationship, for growing in their own connection with God. It's easy for us to do as well. We want God to instantly take us to the end without any process. It's easy to neglect our part. What's our part? What's our part in the dream God has given us? To work with Him, to obey, to get to know Him, to hear His voice, to spend time with Him, to study. Aren't those part of our responsibilities? To surrender? Absolutely. Jeremiah 8:9 says, "Behold, you have rejected the word of the Lord, and what kind of wisdom do they have?" Part of that responsibility was to take the word of the Lord and study it and grow and learn and obey, but they neglected the word of the Lord. Sometimes it's easy for us to take shortcuts, to hear the word from somebody else, and to read it in a devotional book, to get it secondhand rather than study for ourselves. Part of the reason that they weren't able to accomplish what God had called them to, part of the reason for their dream being deferred was they weren't listening to God's word. They weren't heeding what God had told them. They weren't paying attention and following. Maybe just procrastination. They'd intended to get there. They'd intended to do it, but it just hadn't happened. Do you have one of those to-do piles? A list of the things you need to accomplish in your life? And you plan to get to it? That's what happened this summer for us. Basically, the summer passed and we had all these things we were going to do. We just never quite started. Some of them started, but we didn't do the next step. For them, in their dreams, they didn't follow through. They didn't progress. Can you imagine what happens when the dream is something God has for you and you just don't take it? I was going to ask her to marry me, but I never got around to it. I was planning to fill out the application for the school, but I never quite got there. I intended to take the next step and follow God, but it didn't happen. I planned to have the biopsy, and now look at where I'm at. I really intended to go and talk to them, but now they're gone. Sometimes procrastination is the reason why God hasn't accomplished in us what He's intended. Not because of His procrastination, but because of ours. Jeremiah 3:6 says, "We have sinned against the Lord." They recognized that they'd made some mistakes. "And it shall come about when they say, 'Why has the Lord done all these things to us?' Then you say to them, 'As you've forsaken me and served other gods in your land, so you shall serve strangers in a land that's not yours.'" Somehow they believed they could have their cake and eat it too. They believed that they could accomplish God's dream and carry God's dream while they still held on to worshiping other gods. And they knew that what they were doing was wrong, and they knew that they were sinning, but they thought that somehow God would forgive them anyway, and that God would still accomplish what He had in their lives anyway. Does it happen that way sometimes? Spiritually in our lives, could it be that the reason God's not accomplished His dream yet in our life is because we're believing that we can hold on to the sin in our life and God will still do it in spite of us? I believe that the first step in God's accomplishing His dream in our life is that we cooperate with Him before it's too late. So that we don't have to say, the harvest is past, the summer is over, and we're not saved. So the first step is what? Cooperate with Him before it's too late. Don't expect that God's going to do it in spite of you. God's asked you to join Him in the process of accomplishing what He wants to in your life. To help, to be willing to be molded, to be willing to go through the process so He can make you who He wants you to be. To be willing to take the next step with Him. To be willing to hear His Word. God's saying, won't you join with me in that process? Let's cooperate with Him before it's too late. The second step that caused them to not be saved is they didn't realize God's nature. Listen, in Jeremiah 8:18 it says, is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not within her? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? They were crying out and saying, they had a picture of who God was, and they're saying, where's the king? Hadn't God reigned for them in the past? Hadn't He come down as a sovereign king and delivered them? Hadn't He? Had they not known God in that way? And they looked and said, where is that sovereign God? And then they said, where's our healer? For we've seen God as the healer who's reached down and touched us. Is there no balm? Gilead was known for its medical balm. And they said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healer in our nation? Is there no physician to take care of our sickness? They had a picture of God. But they only had a partial picture of God. Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understand and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness. Now they knew that about God, right? The great king who comes and delivers them, the great healer, they knew that about God. But it also says, I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. They only had a partial view of God. They believed that their dream would be accomplished and that God would do it without them because they believed God was just such a merciful, kind, gentle Godfather that He would come in and no matter what they did, He would accomplish the dreams in their life with or without them. But God was a God of justice and righteousness. And if they clung to sin, God couldn't do in their lives what He intended. Because it's not just a God of loving kindness, mercy, but also of justice and righteousness. All had to be mixed. Sometimes I believe that what happens in our life, why we haven't taken the next step, is that we believe God's going to do it for us. That we think that He's so loving and kind that He's not waiting or willing to bring any discipline into our lives. There's no justice or righteousness. But wouldn't a loving parent do that? Would a loving parent enable us to go on in the sin in our life? Would a loving parent step in and show justice and mercy and care to help us to take the next step in our life? In order to say, it's not too late, summer's not ended, we have to look at God for who He is before it is too late. Third and finally, they didn't heed the warning of God. The reason why they weren't saved is they didn't listen to what God had told them. You have to look at God and see the picture of Him. In Jeremiah 9:1, as Jeremiah, the prophet, is portraying God Himself, he says, oh, that my head were waters and that my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. God, portraying Himself as crying over the loss of the people's hearts, seeking something to go in their lives, wishing they would turn and respond to Him. Justice is a picture of God, but so is mercy. Both were blended together. And here, a God who wanted great things for His people. This wasn't a God who said, listen, Israel, you're not following me, so let me punish you. There, take that. This is a God who said, oh, I wish that you'd listen. If you would listen, I could have spared you from so much, but you won't. So I have to let you go into captivity in order that maybe even there you'll turn to me. In John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible. It says, Jesus wept. But it's interesting, the book Desire of Ages, page 478, it says, He wept in view of human distress. He wept in view of human distress. In other words, He wept because they were struggling, because they were hurting. He was crying for that. God already knew that He was going to deliver Lazarus, right? The stories there of Lazarus and them crying over Lazarus, and God knew that He was going to deliver Lazarus. He wasn't crying because Lazarus was dead. He was crying over the suffering that others were going through in their loss of Lazarus. It says a second thing. It says He was crying that the afflicted friends could mourn over the dead while the Savior of the world stood by. That they didn't have enough faith to recognize that God was right there and that whatever was needed, He could take care of. They were weeping when the Savior was there, able to do all for them. He was weeping over their lack of faith. And the third thing, many of those now mourning over Lazarus would soon plan the death of him was the resurrection and life. That even though He'd done all for them, that they were going to still turn from Him. He wept for those reasons. He wept because He was tied into human suffering. He wept because they didn't have enough faith to trust in Him. He wept because they rejected Him. And now, in Jeremiah's time, Jeremiah called the weeping prophet, by the way. Now in Jeremiah's time, Jeremiah portraying God as He's weeping over this people who won't turn to Him, who refuse to turn back to God. In Jeremiah 9:7, it says, Behold, I will melt them and try them. For what else can I do for the daughter of my people? It almost sounds like God's going to destroy them until you recognize that those terms that are used here are terms that are used for refining. And what He's saying is, I'll bring them through the fire. I'll bring them through and let them be tried to let the dross be removed. I'll bring them through these circumstances so that they can find hope, be separated from their sin. Jeremiah 28, closing text 23 through 24, thus says the Lord, we looked at this text earlier, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, nor let the mighty man boast of his might. Let not the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness. That He knows me. Really, their biggest issue was that they didn't know God. They didn't come to know Him. They didn't understand His character and nature. The reason why it was too late is because they misunderstood what God was planning to do for them. They thought that He would do it without them. It was too late for them because they believed that God's character was such that He would let them go ahead in their sin. And that He was so merciful that He would ignore the sin in their life. And thirdly, they believed that somehow through the whole thing that God's warnings weren't really real. And they didn't need to listen. Summer's almost passed, but not quite. You know, if you wanted to this weekend, it's bright and sunny. You could go to the coast. This weekend, you have two more days after this. How many of you have Monday off? You know, summer's not too late. You could still do some of those things. It's not too late. There's still the opportunity. Summer's not quite ended. For them, God had to refine them to bring them through. But it's not too late for us. God's call to work the plan in His life is not too late. Heed the call to intimacy before it is too late. The summer's not quite over. God's still calling. Come to me. Experience intimacy before it's too late. With the opportunity to respond, my Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. You may have in your heart something you'd like to bring to God. We've asked that our elders and prayer warriors would stay afterwards. And if you have a prayer request or desire for anointing, please, this front pew we've reserved for you afterwards. If you'd like to open your heart to God or closing Him, my Jesus, I love You, I'd like you to stand with me and say, Lord, we want to, before it's too late, experience the call to respond to you. Let's stand. Almost over. I believe in world's history it is as well. Quickly coming to an end. And there's so much that we wanted to do for the summer, wanted to do in our own lives. And Lord, sometimes I think we've just relied on you that you would do it in spite of us. Instead, Lord, we choose today to cooperate. Lord, we've sometimes misunderstood your character. We see you as merciful and we praise you for that, but also as just and righteous. And that, Lord, you're looking for a way to establish that kingdom here on this earth. We want to be a part of that. God, we have heard you share that you're coming and the call to prepare. We want to be prepared. We ask that you'd help us to respond to your call and give our hearts to you before it's too late. In Christ's name, amen. Welcome to come to the